You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome in to this beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon. Hopefully everybody's out there enjoying their Saturday afternoon. Anita Marks with you. We've got Joe and Harvey who are producing the show. Guys, over under, because you know I am a wagering woman, over under how many times if somebody recognizes me or recognizes my voice and says, oh my gosh, Anita Marks, every time I hear Dancing Queen, I think of you.
Two and a half?
Yep. Joe, pipe in here, please.
I would set it at like 25 and a half.
There you go. Like probably at least 20, if not over 20 times a year, I've got somebody who says, oh my gosh, every time I hear Dancing Queen, I think of you. So it's the show open for a reason. It's a feel-good song. It makes me feel good. So who's feeling good right now? I'd imagine that Jets fans are feeling good right now. Because one thing that we talked about that they needed to do heading into this market of free agency prior to the draft is solidifying that offensive line. And Tyron Smith comes over from the Dallas Cowboys. Left tackle, signs a one-year deal. Now, Pro Football Focus has him ranked as the fifth best tackle in the NFL. Is going to protect Aaron Rodgers' blind side. And boy, is he going to need it. So that is huge. I would imagine that Jets fans have to feel really, really good about that. I do want to spend some time today breaking down what both the Jets and the Giants have been able to do so far in free agency. And also we'll take a look around the league and see what the other teams are doing. I don't know about you guys. Like, I don't remember a time where free agency has just been so insane. I feel like every day there's breaking news. Either I'm on a pickleball court or I'm somewhere and somebody's saying, hey, Anita, did you hear? Did you hear this player got traded? Did you hear this player got signed? Did you hear this? I feel like, you know, I've been joint by the hip to my cell phone because it's just been so active and attractive, right? Like, don't you feel this year has been, this free agency period has been like more active than most?
It's insane. Every day there's somebody getting traded, somebody's getting cut, somebody's moving somewhere.
Right.
It's like you can't go 5 minutes.
And listen, here's what the frightening thing, like it's not over yet. Right? Like,
no, you still have the draft moves and all that stuff. Draft
yeah,
day is
but
insane
I, but
too.
Like, but like even in free agency, and I just want to call it up, Warren Sharp, Sharp Football Analysis. He's got, I want to call it up. Here we go. Free agency tracker. Love this website. You have to be, you have to pay to be a member of it. But I do love it because, hold on. That's not the site. That's not the link I want. Maybe because I have to log in. You do have to pay a monthly fee to be able to access this information. But it's really, really, really good. Here we go. Free agency tracker, tracking the best free agents still available. And I'm going to hold off on the quarterbacks because I do want to do a deeper dive into the quarterbacks because I actually love what the Rams and the Eagles did by bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo going to the Rams and Kenny Pickett going to the Eagles. But, you know, now a ton of wide receivers, right, have already found new homes. But look at this list, guys, of some of the other wide receivers that are still available. Mike Williams, love him. Great possession wide receiver. He's still available. Tyler Boyd, Odell Beckham Jr., Michael Thomas. Love me some Hunter Renfrow. I think he's one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL. One of the best route runners in the NFL, KJ Osborne, a solid number two, Hardman, MVS, Michael Gallup was released by the Dallas Cowboys, Corey Davis, just to name a few. I do like Russell Gage, kind of fell off, high expectations when he was with the Atlanta Falcons, kind of fell off by the wayside when he was with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Donovan Peoples-Jones, who, you know, I think really could have exceeded in Cleveland, but for whatever reasons did not, but has a really, really, really good skill set. So tight ends, you still have Hayden Hurst, Logan Thomas, Tanyan, just to name a few. But in running backs, J.K. Dobbins still available, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Rashad Penny, Devontae Foreman, Clyde Edwards-Alaire, Cam Akers. Now, these are a lot of like these, the running backs that are still available are more the complementary roles. But, and I do want to dive into some of the quarterbacks that are still available. And as we know, the Giants and the Jets addressed their backup quarterback situation. I'm sure Giants fans out there are like, wait, what do you mean backup? You don't think Drew Lock's going to compete with Daniel Jones for the starting position? No, I don't. It's kind of like a conversation I had with, I got a mani-pedi yesterday, and I met this very nice young woman at the salon. I was getting my mani-pedi, and she's a huge Giants fan. And she's like, no way would we have brought in Russell Wilson. I was like, well, you know, for $1.2 million, why not? But obviously how this has all unfolded with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Kenny Pickett wanting out, there's some talk and speculation. Some camps are reporting that Russell Wilson was going to have to come in and compete with Kenny Pickett for the starting job. There's other camps that are saying that Russell Wilson was guaranteed the starting spot, which I believe, right? But it's hard. It's hard to come in and let's just say Russell Wilson did meet with the Giants. And of course, Ian Rappaport, as well as Adam Schefter, were reporting that the Giants met him over there somewhere near Newark Airport. Who knows? Did he come to the facility? Did he not? Regardless, reports out there that they met. Did the Giants say, hey, listen, you have to come in and compete with Daniel Jones? Or did they say you have to come in and be the backup to Daniel Jones? But we don't know. He's got obviously a lot of health issues. And we don't even know if he's going to be ready to start the season. It's kind of hard for a general manager and a franchise to eat the fact that they're starting a quarterback that they're paying $1.2 million to, and you're paying almost $40 million to a quarterback on the bench. That's not a good look. It's not a good look for a general manager. And unfortunately, a lot of times their egos drive their decisions. So there's that. Great that the Giants kicked the can on that. Just did not believe that was going to happen. So now Russell Wilson goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, makes them immediately better in regard to the supporting cast that's around him. Arthur Smith, now the offensive coordinator. You know, the biggest problem, if you did tune into the show last week, we had Jeff Legwald on the program, and you know, he put to rest a lot of the rumors and speculation that Russell Wilson was the last one in the building, first one to leave, not a hard worker, nobody liked him. Not the case. And I believe Jeff Legwald, he's covered the Denver Broncos for quite a few years and has his finger on the pulse of that team better than most. It was just oil and water between him and Sean Payton and the offense that Sean Payton wants to run. So now Russell goes to Pittsburgh, has a great supporting cast, and now working with Arthur Smith, and they're going to build an offense around him, an offense that's committed to running the football. You've got to work in play action when it comes to Russell Wilson, just because he's so small. You need to make sure that you can create those gaps in the ability to view the field for him, which you can do more easily when you're incorporating play action, not what Sean Payton and his offense was able to do for him. So this is a much better fit. And then apparently Kenny Pickett lost the locker room last year when he was adamant that he did not want to dress as the third string quarterback in a game where they were going to roll with Mason Rudolph once he was healthy. So apparently word is Kenny Pickett lost the locker room then, and the locker room and those guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball, did not want him back. So I get it. Kenny Pickett believes that he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. Not that he's going to start in Philadelphia, but that's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. But nonetheless, and then of course you've got Jimmy Garoppolo, who makes his way from Las Vegas to the Rams. If you listen to my show, you know I say time and time again, it's so important. If you are a team, if you're an NFL team that you feel that you've got a really good shot of winning your division, going to the playoffs, let alone possibly winning the Super Bowl, to me, the backup quarterback position is so important. Don't underestimate, don't overlook the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles got Kenny Pickett. Okay? Kenny Pickett is a starting quarterback, and I could sit here and argue with you that he's a top 25 quarterback in the NFL who's now backing up Jalen Hurts. And if we go back to last year, 19 quarterbacks out of the 32 teams, 19 quarterbacks went down with injuries. And if you look at all the teams that advanced and went to the playoffs, only two of the 14 advanced to the playoffs with backup quarterbacks. One, Joe Flacco with the Cleveland Browns, who found magic in a bottle. And then, of course, Mason Rudolph, who, by the way, was the third string quarterback for, don't forget, Trubisky was there. So it was Pickett, Trubisky, and then they ended up with Mason Rudolph, found success with Mason Rudolph, and continued to roll with him. And both those teams got bumped, by the way, in the first round. So important, especially if you are a team that is competing to win a Super Bowl, to have a backup quarterback that could come in that would be a starter on another team, or you're really confident is going to help you win some games. And I feel Kenny Pickett is that for the Philadelphia Eagles. Granted, I know the storyline there is them getting Saquon Barkley, which is huge for their offense and all that. Absolutely. But and you don't wish ill will on anyone, and you don't go into a season expecting players to get injured. But especially after last year and what we saw, if you're a general manager, how could you not absolutely want a guy who's going to come in? And especially, I mean, let's look here in our own backyard in regard to what happened with the Jets. Now, I know a lot of politics played a role in that, considering that the Jets drafted Zach Wilson where they did, but they didn't plan accordingly, especially for a quarterback coming in who was 40 years old and a subpar offensive line. Now the Jets go out and they bring in Tyrod Taylor. I personally feel there were better options out there. I'm not thrilled with that signing. I know Woody Johnson came out and said, you know, we need a better backup. Now, is Tyrod Taylor a great veteran? Yeah, absolutely he is. Absolutely he is. But he's 34 years old, and he's had a ton of health issues. So now you back up a 41-year-old coming off of Achilles surgery with a 34-year-old who's had health issues. Why? There are better options out there. And again, I love Tyrod Taylor. But for this Jets team, with the expectations of what they're trying to accomplish this year, to me, was Tyrod Taylor your best option? Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
So just to recap in regard to what the Giants and the Jets did, obviously the biggest move right now for the Jets, Tyron Smith, bringing him in, left tackle, signs a one-year deal. Again, Pro Football Focus has him listed as the fifth best tackle in the NFL, protecting Aaron Rodgers' blind side. And then, of course, some other linemen, John Simpson playing left guard, Morgan Moses playing right tackle, Elijah Vera Tucker, hoping that he'll get healthy in time, of course, to be able to start the season. So no denying the Jets definitely improved their offensive line, and they needed to, especially with Aaron Rodgers coming in at 41 years old this season, and of course, coming off that Achilles surgery. They add Kinlaw to the interior defensive line to play right next to Quinnen Williams. Special teams in regard to punting and Zuerlein as well, maybe argue one of their most important assets from last year. Chuck Clark's coming in, so they address the secondary. And like I said, Tyrod Taylor, now the backup at 34 years old and definitely has had some injury history. Not the best choice for me. Joe and I were talking in the break. Joe's like, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo would have begun. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd even, you know, I think Sam Darnold, I know he's in Minnesota now. I know, you know, do you want to bring like an old girlfriend back into the realm? Probably not, but I think Darnold is a solid backup quarterback. Gardner Minshew, he's in Vegas. I think Vegas is going to draft a young quarterback. Could Gardner Minshew be that bridge for them? Joe Flacco, again, he's in Indianapolis. I know a quarterback who used to be here, but still, just to name a few, like even Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph really impressed me last year. I think you can make an argument for Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill. And again, not a knock on Tyrod Taylor, but I just don't feel it was the best option out there. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Justin in Toms River. Justin, welcome in.
Hey, Anita. Thank you for taking my phone call, as always. You know, I really have to applaud Joe Douglas. You know, as a Jet fan, I was getting very upset after the first couple of days of free agency. Especially, it's not like baseball, because usually in the NFL, the good guys go very quick. But he made some very savvy moves. I really like bringing back Moses back to play right tackle for the Jets. And I really was excited with them bringing in Tyron Smith. There's not a really big high risk with that going for 1 year, and he is one of the best left tackles when healthy. And besides Rodgers, I think Breece Hall's got to be very excited. Bringing in these two Ravens players, they're nasty. They like to run the ball. I think that's going to really benefit Breece Hall. I think he's going to have an amazing year coming out for the Jets, and that's really going to be their focal point of the offense outside of Rodgers. I think the Jets are really going to run the ball downhill and be able to pass the ball to him out of the backfield. But, you know, for me as a Jet fan, I'm not going to get over my head and say Super Bowl, but I think this is spectacular for them addressing this offensive line, because obviously that was the biggest weak point. And now also, too, with Douglas, he can sit back now and not have to draft at a need. He can take best player available at this point. And also, like you were saying before, I think the Raiders might want to move up. Minnesota might want to move up. The Jets can trade that pick and move back and get that second-round draft pick back. I think this is a win-win for the Jets at this point.
Yeah, just a quick note, and Justin, thanks for the phone call. You know, Smith is known as a better pass protector than he is a run blocker. Of course, he can do both, but really, I think the big key here and the Jets going out and getting him and solidifying him was really to protect Aaron Rodgers' blind side, especially Aaron coming in after that Achilles surgery. So, you know, obviously you want a lineman who can do both, but Smith excels in pass pro more so than run blocking, just FYI. As for the Giants, big signing with Brian Burns, 5 years, $150 million. And now you align him with Thibodeau as well as Dexter Lawrence. You could argue that the Giants now will have one of the best pass rushes in the NFC East. You know, let's not forget, you know, the Eagles have lost a few dudes. Now, they have stockpiled in the draft, and they've brought in a lot of talent from the University of Georgia. Has that panned out? Has that paid off for them so far? No, it hasn't. Will it pay off for them this year? Will they excel? Will they take a next step forward? Possibly. But with Burns and Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence, boy, this is a team that's really defensively are going to be able to get after quarterbacks. Now this is really interesting because Burns has a 21% win rate in regard to getting after the quarterback, but only 8 sacks this past year. So his win rate against opposing offensive linemen is quite impressive, but his sack total is not. You know, is that because he was double teamed and he just couldn't get there in time? You know, did he have a bad secondary where you know, quarterbacks were able to get rid of the ball quicker? There could be a lot of reasons behind that. You know, will he be less the focal point of opposing offenses with Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence playing beside him? More than likely. But at the end of the day, he was the best pass rusher available in free agency this year, and the Giants got him, which was huge. Of course, again, the Giants, they bring in Drew Locke. So now you've got a very crowded quarterback room, obviously, with Daniel Jones expecting to be the starting quarterback next year, Drew Locke, and then DeVito. And I still do believe that the Giants are going to draft a quarterback in this draft. Now, again, if Drake May is still available there at 3, I'm going to be, just so you know, so you can envision it, I'm going to be yelling and screaming at my TV, trade up, go get Drew Locke. I mean, go get Drake May, go get Drake May. Who knows? The Patriots, they now have shed Mac Jones. He's now in Jacksonville. So could the Patriots sitting there at 3 draft Drake May? That's a possibility. Are they going to get unbelievable offers from a number of teams sitting there having the quarterback at 3? I believe that they will. Will they trade down? I think that's very likely. Could it be to the Giants? Possibly. A lot of people believe not. But at the end of the day, I do believe that that quarterback room is going to have a rookie quarterback. And so it's going to be quite crowded. That's for sure. They address their tight end position because still, there are some reports out there that Darren Waller is considering retirement. They lose Saquon Barkley, so they add Singletary. Keep in mind, Singletary, the connection with Joe Shane in Buffalo, scouted and drafted Singletary. Singletary, 3 years, $16.5 million, more than half less of what the Eagles are paying Saquon Barkley. They add a wide receiver in Isaiah McKenzie. You know, that's another low end 2, possibly 3 wide receiver on this roster. Nothing to write home about, but also improve the offensive line with Runyon and the slew of other guards and one tackle that they were able to bring in. So improve the offensive line, somewhat replace Saquon Barkley. I think Saquon Barkley is pretty much unreplaceable, but I think there's going to be a running back by committee. Singletary will be a part of that. Some reassurance in regards to the tight end position, just in case Darren Waller decides to retire. A backup with Drew Locke to of course, back up Daniel Jones. No guarantee that he's going to be ready to start the season, although there's a lot of optimism around that. And, of course, their biggest signing, Brian Burns, coming over from Carolina to help solidify that pass rush. And that's what the Giants were able to do.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to 98.7 ESPN. Anita Marks with you and the wonderful, fabulous Cynthia Freeland. You see her all over the NFL Network, crushing it each and every day. Cynthia, how are you, man? It has been insanely busy. I can't even imagine.
I mean, it's fun. I love having so much movement in free agency. Lots of storylines, you know, new quarterbacks in new places, a lot of drama for maybe no reason. But hey, you know what? We love a good dramatic moment.
I don't think I've ever remembered a free agent period where it's been this aggressive and like teams are going to look so different next year. Like I just feel like every minute there's like new news breaking and like, and like with major players.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens when you see the cap shift so much more than maybe people were expecting. Certainly more than, you know, what was the, even the most wild estimates I had seen, this surpassed it. So I think people are taking bigger swings because they can, but also once those certain teams take swings, other teams are thus reactive. And that reaction then like makes teams who aren't typically really active during free agency, maybe they're a little bit more incentivized. So I think a lot of this all has to do with, you know, what happened with the cap and it going up and the value of quarterbacks and the value of winning now.
Absolutely. All right. So I want to spend some time diving into the divisions in regard to what's already happened in free agency, right? And also what maybe you think is going to happen in the draft as well. So let's start right here in our own backyard. And let's start in the AFC East, right, with what's going on with the Jets. You know, obviously they are all in with Aaron Rodgers, and Joe D had to really work some magic because they were cap strapped and they were able to redo deals and whatnot. You know, your thoughts in regard to what the Jets have done or maybe what they have not, you know, there are a lot of people out there thinking that they were going to go out and bring in a Mike Evans, you know, go get Davante Adams. And I was just like, hey, I think we got to slow our roll here. Like, you know, financially, this is a Jets team that's kind of strapped. Your thoughts on what they've done or what they haven't done?
Well, I mean, look, like the biggest asset that they have, we haven't seen play yet. And I know it was exciting last year, but it doesn't mean it's not just exciting this year that Aaron Rodgers will be your starting quarterback. I think bringing in Tyrod Taylor to back him up is a really good plan as well. To me, kind of the thing that stinks is I really liked Bryce Huff, and losing mm-hmm. him is a big deal. So I know people were surprised at how big of a deal he got in at the Eagles, but you know who wasn't surprised? Jets fans. They knew exactly how valuable that guy is. So there's also a long way between now and when the football gets played. And when you have one of the very best quarterbacks ever, then it changes the calculus for things as well. So I'm not like, I'm not looking at the lack of the Jets moves and feeling the same way as, oh, say the Cowboys, right? It's a much different situation. And even though it doesn't sound as sexy and you feel a little bit impatient, I still think they're totally fine. We got a long way between now and then.
Well, looking at this division, you know, big picture in regard to the Jets, the Patriots, obviously they move on from Mac Jones. They bring in Jacoby Brissett. No surprise there. I think that's what was anticipated. They're sitting at three. A lot of people feel that they're going to be the team that that drafts a quarterback at three as well. I know some people think that they're going to trade that pick. The Miami Dolphins cap strapped as well, focusing on the defensive side of the ball for them, especially today. And then, of course, the Buffalo Bills just shedding guys, especially losing their secondary. So do you feel like what has happened here in free agency has opened up things for the Jets? Or do you feel like there's a team that's made some moves and maybe they've got some draft capital that you feel really confident about is going to dominate this division?
I just don't think that when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen, you can ever count the Bills out, even though they did have to shed a lot of people, players, starters. But remember, a lot of those guys weren't playing at the back half of last season anyways. I mean, they were pretty decimated due to injuries for much of the season. So I'm not saying it wasn't bad for the Bills to have to lose who they lost, but you still can't count them out. And also, I'm looking at the Dolphins and their offense is still very much intact. I'm not so much, I got to look at their defense and not so much convinced that their defense, I'm very confused by their defense, at least right now. That'll be a source of where they focus in the draft almost assuredly. But I mean, I think it became a lot more equal. However, looking at the Jets results last year and then remembering that this year you get the quarterback that's taken up a lot of that cap space and was last year, you know, a lot of the opportunity was kind of lost after what, four snaps. So I think it got a lot more even. Everything is a little bit more even, but remember, you kind of can't count out Josh Allen and you certainly can't count out what those, the Dolphins offense are capable of.
Here we go. Division winner for the Buffalo Bills +130, the Miami Dolphins +185, the Jets +290, and the Patriots 20-1. 20-1, the Patriots. Is that worth a, Cynthia, is that worth a play?
I mean, the odds are great, but I think they're there for a reason. I don't think it's necessarily the time of the Patriots yet. And I'm not, like, they do get a lot of pieces back too. They were injured as well. I just think we have a lot of unknowns there. So that one is definitely like more of a fun shot in the dark than it is anything else.
Turning our attention to the NFC East, and of course, keeping it here in our own backyard with Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network. Let's talk about what the Giants have been able to do. Everybody anticipating Daniel Jones to be the starting quarterback, but they do bring in Drew Lock to back him up. Tommy DeVito being obviously the third. There's some talk and speculation that the Giants are going to draft a quarterback in this draft. Does that mean they trade up and try to get one of the top three, or they draft somebody at six? You know, there's talk and speculation. Darren Waller is contemplating retirement. We'll see what happens there. They obviously improved their offensive line, which was key. And then, of course, they trade for Brian Burns, and they bring him in to bolster their pass rush with Thibodeau as well as Dexter Lawrence. So your thoughts on what the Giants have done so far?
I mean, from a pure standpoint of, like, what it will look like, it feels more Giant-y. You know, to have a good defensive front feels like something that is going to make Giants fans very happy. Do I understand some of the other pieces yet? No, because we haven't seen them play out. I'm still curious who's going to, you know, catch any potentially thrown footballs, right? So there's just a few questions still lingering for me that I'm not sure, you know, the free agency won't solve them, right? We're going to have to see how they strategize during the entire draft period. But I think overall addressing the line was very, very smart. And remember, this is a very strong O-line class. So I'm going to be curious to see, because I want to see what can really happen here now that they have a couple of years of Brian Daboll as the architect and more of a defensive presense even than we saw. I mean, Thibodeau was great last year. Let me be clear. Just, you know, now you've added Brian Burns, who's a very formidable pass rusher. So it feels more Giant-y, but Xavier McKinney, like, being gone is – safety is an important spot, and I don't think they should have paid him what – the Green Bay Packers paid him. I think that was a bit of a stretch, even though he's very good young talent. So I think that was smart by them. But now we have to figure out replacing him. And what does that secondary look like? How does it operate?
Absolutely. In looking at this division, the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones being criticized for not doing much of anything in free agency. But boy, the Philadelphia Eagles have, they trade with the Pittsburgh Steelers for Kenny Pickett. So they bring in a solid backup to Jalen Hurts, which I think is significant. I've always said backup quarterback to me is in my opinion, one of the most important positions, especially if you have a team that you feel coming into the season is built to win a championship that year. They add Saquon Barkley, obviously not sitting well with the fans here in New York. That's for sure. You know, your thoughts on what the Eagles have done, obviously, you know, losing Kelsey, Fletcher Cox as well. A lot of changes here with this Eagles team. Are they the favorite to you to win this division?
It would be hard to see anyone else being the favorite, especially given the moves that they've made. I mean, I think low key, even getting CJ Gardner-Johnson back, a guy who very familiar with them, a feisty player. That safety position was clearly a deficiency that they had last year, even when things were going well. I think that they've done really well during this free agent period so far, especially I mean, they got Saquon Barkley for the same contract that the Jacksonville Jaguars got for Gabe Davis.
Wow.
That Darnell Mooney got as a Falcon. That's, they're all roughly very, very comparable contracts. So, I mean, to do that is very, very, very efficient, especially because everyone knows, every Giants fan knows Saquon Barkley's ability to earn yards after contact, second to none, actually only second to Christian McCaffrey, if you're looking at the next gen stats. And that will be very helpful considering the O-line rebuild. I mean, you're not going to be able to do that tush-push without Jason Kelce unless you have a guy with quads like Saquon Barkley's.
Unbelievable. So right now, the Dallas Cowboys and the Eagles both evenly favored to win the NFC East at plus 130. Washington at plus 750 and the Giants at 10-1. Do you feel that those odds are right on in regard to, you know, what Washington has been able to do? I mean, Marcus Mariota as their starting quarterback. Of course, they add Austin Eckler. I know they still have salary cap Zach Ertz. I know they still have salary cap space and obviously the number two pick in this year's draft. Again, everybody's expecting them to take a quarterback. And Mariota, I'm sure would, you know, be the backup, but nonetheless, do you feel Washington should be above the Giants favored to win this division?
I mean, I don't know what I think about it. Washington has made a ton of moves and we haven't seen what the Giants have done so far. So maybe at this particular moment in time, okay, but I think as we get closer to the season, I reserve the right to change it. If I wish this were like the stock market and I could just short the Cowboys, because I just think, what are the Cowboys doing up there?
You know what I mean?
I just wish I could short them being, you know, first in the division. The fact that they're the same as the Eagles feels weird to me.
It will be interesting to see how, it's not over yet, and we still have plenty of time until we get to the draft and see what these teams do in the draft, especially in the AFC and NFC East. Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us. Really always do appreciate you, my friend.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Guys, did you know tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day?
No way, really? I'm stunned.
Do you have anything planned?
Yeah, I'm going to apparently have shows to do tomorrow, so I'll be here working.
Oh, I have shows. I'm going to be here tomorrow, too.
Wow, look at that.
But in the afternoon, are you doing anything in the afternoon or the evening to celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
I've got a Rangers game to do. They're playing the Islanders tomorrow after tonight.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll be doing absolutely nothing. I'll be exhausted.
You're not going to be anywhere drinking green beer.
No, I don't drink beer.
Which, by the way, have you ever had green beer?
I don't drink anything green. So I don't drink beer or anything green at all.
You've never had wheatgrass before?
No.
Okay.
You've had wheatgrass, is what you're saying.
Just checking in. Just checking in. Yes. Yeah, nice to have a shot of wheatgrass every day. You know, it gets that engine revving, Harvey.
Do tell. What are the benefits of wheatgrass?
Anyway, it's St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. Hopefully everybody's got something fun planned. But always great to have Cynthia Freeland on. Again, Joe Wiz is going to join us. We'll take a look around our college basketball landscape, get you some plays for today. Obviously, more plays tomorrow. And then of course, not only is it St. Patrick's Day, but it's also Selection Sunday. And then next week is going to be bonkers. My second favorite time of the year, that's for sure. We have Click or Don't Click. We'll find out what's trending coming your way in just a few minutes. I think I've got a good Who Am I waiting in the wings for you as well. With you until 2:30 this afternoon, heading into your Rangers pregame show. Dan Grasso will lead the way there. And then, of course, you'll be able to listen to that Rangers game right here on 98.7 ESPN. Let's get to your calls, 800-919-3776. Let's go to Floyd in Harlem. Floyd, welcome in. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Nita? Thanks for having me. Hey, listen, I hate to say this. I'm a diehard Knicks fan, but I'm also a Barkley fan too. And I think that I'm sorry, the Giants. I think the Giants is going to go through Barkley curse. Because of what happened. You know, they should have given him that money. They signed Danny Jones over. He haven't even proven himself. You know, so what they did.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Floyd, and I appreciate the phone call. You know, the Giants made an offer for Saquon Barkley first last year. And Saquon Barkley turned it down. Anyone and everyone you speak to, they will tell you that the Eagles are overpaying for Saquon Barkley. But unlike the Giants, I think the Eagles are in a unique situation where they are in a win now predicament, right? Like, I think that they'll win the division this year. The Dallas Cowboys really haven't done much. They're in somewhat salary cap hell. Washington more than likely is going to move forward with a rookie quarterback. They are in that rebuilding phase. And then there's so many question marks here with the Giants. That's for sure. So I think the Eagles are in a prime situation where they could try to run it back, win the division. And, you know, you talk to the majority of head coaches in the NFL, it's half the battle. If you win your division, then you're guaranteed to host the first round of the playoffs. And if you beat other opponents, then, you know, obviously you get a better seed. But all you have to do is win. I know it sounds simple, but all you have to do is win your division and you're hosting a game in the first round of the playoffs. It's just that simple. Hence why a lot of teams structure their philosophy and their game plan and their schemes and tailor their roster around beating the teams in their division more so than anyone else. Because that's half the battle. So I do believe the Eagles will win the division this year. And I think they're going to try to make a really big run to go win a playoff. And so they've taken all their chips and they've put them in the middle of the table. They are all in. And so they're just in a different situation, I believe, than the Giants are in. Me personally, I would not pay a running back that kind of money. So I'm not going to sit here and question or have a negative view in regard to the Giants not signing Saquon Barkley. I think they made him a very fair deal last year before they offered Daniel Jones his contract, and he turned it down. And now Saquon got what he wants. He's getting paid over $12 million a year. It's just ridiculous to spend that type of money on a running back. But again, I understand if you're in a situation like the Eagles are. And also, I think that we've seen some warts on Jalen Hurts. I don't believe Jalen Hurts is the quarterback that everybody thought he was. I never was totally sold in on him. And so, you bring somebody in like Saquon Barkley, it definitely makes the situation a lot easier for a quarterback who's not top 10, top 15 in the NFL with Saquon Barkley's skill set. Saquon Barkley is a real good deodorant for a quarterback who might be middle of the pack, but many feel is top 10. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Tony in the Bronx. Tony, welcome in. Good afternoon.
Hey, Anita. How you doing today?
Great. Thank you.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great as well. I guess you got to be part Irish to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, too. So I guess I'm part Irish.
Do you?
I'm celebrating this. Well,
listen, any excuse to celebrate, I don't think you... any excuse to celebrate... A good time is a good time, Tony.
It's a good time. I always like to say Patrick's Day, of course. Even though I'm probably going to be spending it at home watching the NBA tomorrow, so that's what it's going to be on. I know it's straight home on Sunday, so it wins on a Sunday. But getting back to the draft here, it looks like they got Drew Lock. I don't know. I understand that we all want the Giants to get a quarterback, and I guess if the Giants were to pick one, Drake May would be the guy I would probably prefer to get. But I don't know if things are going to be that simple here, because I know Chicago's getting Caleb, and Washington looks like they're going to get Jalen Daniels, and the Patriots are drafting a quarterback as well. But I think I need you sleeping on our team here. The team you're sleeping on here could be the Vikings, because they just got two first-round picks in a deal here, and their first-round picks, and they could use that up to, if they get that four spot where the Cardinals are at, they could take whichever the two quarterbacks the Patriots don't get, whether it's Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. And if that's the case, coupled with the fact that the Steelers could all likely end up getting Justin Fields from the Bears, I think what you see in the Giants quarterback room right now is probably what you're going to get going to 2024 season here.
Here's the thing, Tony. Appreciate the call. I think that division, to me, the Minnesota Vikings are really at the bottom of the barrel in that division. And just had the conversation with Cynthia Freeland. To me, it's the Detroit Lions. I think they try to run it back. If there's a team there that I think can really challenge them, it's the Green Bay Packers. Got to love how Jordan Love played towards the end of the season, let alone when they got into the playoffs. And now they add Josh Jacobs, who I think is a better running back than Aaron Jones. So there's that. And then really interested to see what the Bears do at quarterback. I'm not a big Caleb Williams fan. I don't believe he's the best quarterback in this draft, but everybody anticipates them to draft Caleb Williams and trade Justin Fields. I like what they've done in free agency, in the players that they've added, that's for sure. But I'm just not sold on the Chicago Bears. And I personally don't believe that Caleb Williams is a better quarterback than Justin Fields. And I'm not even a fan of Justin Fields. Love him on my fantasy team. Wouldn't want him quarterbacking my real NFL team trying to win some games. So just not sold on that. To me, it's the Detroit Lions. I think they run it back, but I do believe the Green Bay Packers are going to give them a good run for their money. There's no denying that.